you. Thank you again for the invitation to be here. You referred to me as Pastor Mark, and I am not a pastor, but I am a lover of our God, and love the opportunity to talk about Him whenever it gets a chance. What I wanted to talk to you about today is something that's kind of near and dear to my heart, and has been a comfort for me and my family. We serve an amazing God. Amen. And a little over 10, 11 years ago, we started into a little bit of a time of storm, Connie and I did, and our daughter. And it started with Connie being diagnosed with cancer. And since that time, went through just about 4 years of surgeries and chemo and radiation, and our girls were 8 and 10 at the time. And to navigate that storm with children that age that see their mother being ravaged by chemo and radiation, surgery, and trying to deal with them and let them know that God's in our corner. God's got mommy's back, and we're just going to leave that to Him. That's difficult at that age to understand that. Even at our age, it was difficult at times for us to understand that. We got through that, and then, of course, not to be outdone, I ended up having, over a string of the next 6-7 years, 2 heart attacks, a couple of different blood clots in my legs, one of which wasn't too long ago that ended up resulting in a life flight to Columbus, Ohio, in order to get the blood flowing in my leg again. Otherwise, they were going to have to amputate my leg. To about 5 years ago, my mother suddenly passing away from a simple outpatient surgery. And my story is not any different than anybody else's, right? I mean, we all have those times in our life when storms hit, when Satan attacks us, creates issues and division in our lives, things that he would hope to utilize to separate us from our Savior and our God. We have a unique relationship with a Father who simply wants to love us, that just wants to have us draw near to Him, to seek relationship with Him. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about today, is just navigating those storms of life that hit each and every one of us at various times in our lives. There's 2 things that we can do when those storms hit. We have one of two choices. Right? One, we can decide to blame God, turn our back on Him, ask questions of, how could a loving God allow this to happen to me? Or we can lean into God. We can hold on to the hope and the faith that we have in our Savior and understand that what our Father wants from us is for us to count on Him, to come to Him, receive that comfort from Him. And it's not that, and this will be a lesson for another day. There's different times and things that happen where I don't believe God causes things to happen, but God may allow things to happen. And I think that's part of the free will that involves this world. suffering to mold us, to refine us, to bring us closer to Him, to grow us in ways that we've never grown before. Because He can see our potential. He can see where we need spiritual maturity, growth, knowledge, understanding, and the desire for those things in Him. I want to read a few scriptures here at the beginning. If you turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James is writing, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." And then John chapter 16, verse 33. I got to tell you, this became one of my songs of the day when we first started going through cancer. And God bless my wife. In many ways, she is so much more than I am. I was the one that was born and raised in the church, and every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, I was there with my parents. Connie was not raised in the church. And boy, I'm telling you what, there's days today that I lean on her faith. You would think it would be the opposite way, but there are many, many times that I lean on her faith and learn from her. And I remember the very day that we got her diagnosis. She came up to the office that I was working in at the time and called me to come out and meet her by the car. And we sat down. She told me she'd just been to the doctor and what her diagnosis was. And we cried, prayed, we talked. Tried to figure out what we were going to do and how we were going to do it where the girls were concerned. Just before I got out of the car to go back inside, she looked at me and she said, "I'll tell you this much. We are going to do this walking with God. And we're not going to forget Him in this process. Because He is the only thing that's going to get me through this." And man, I'm telling you what, to hear that come from your spouse's mouth. And there were days that was tough. There were days that we didn't do very good with that. And I think God's okay with that. I think God understands that we're going to have days that are tough. We're going to have days where we're going to question. What God doesn't want us to do is walk away from it. But He does want us to lean into it. Hold on to Him, continue to talk to Him in that relationship. John 16, verse 33. "I have told you all this that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome this world." So God not only gives us the strength and support, He acknowledges, He knows more than anybody else. He knows the trials that Mark and Dean is going to have 5 years from now. What God's waiting to see is, how do I respond to those trials? A couple more here. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead those people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, will be on land I have given you. The Negev wilderness in the south, the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the lands of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Be strong and very courageous, careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, and you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Can you just imagine God looking at Joshua and saying, look, Joshua, Moses, who was my servant, said, I've allowed you time to mourn, and it was appropriate. But now I need you to pull up your bootstraps. See, now I need you to pull up your sandal straps and get back to the work that I need done. And I think that's a call to all of us. There is a time for these seasons, but then we have to be about our Father's business. He understands what is appropriate and what's necessary, just as he did when Joshua mourned the death of Moses. But then he'll nudge us to get on to his work. The last scripture I want to bring in before we move on, 1 Peter. Verses 5, or 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 11. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls all around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. You know, God never promised us that life would be trouble-free, burden-free, storm-free. But as we read in John chapter 16, as he acknowledged the fact that we're going to have trials and tribulations on this earth, he also told us, take heart, have peace in me, in the understanding that I have overcome this world. Sometimes I think that's a hard concept for us to grasp. It is for me. At moments in my life, to understand that there is nothing in this world that will take God away from me. Nothing in this world that is stronger than, better than, more powerful than my Savior. And it doesn't matter what Satan wants to do to me, how he wants to attack me. God is always there on my side. He's always available to me. strengthen us. He will renew us. He will confirm us. And he will deliver us. Isn't it wonderful to know that no matter what, this world, this decaying world, hands us, we have a home in heaven that's being prepared for us right now. One of the things that always strikes me is when we start to complain about things in this world, the condition things have gotten to, the fact that this world is decaying, that our bodies are decaying bodies. And I can feel for you. I was talking to your wife earlier this morning, telling about your knee. I had the same thing done, and that's not a fun trip. But even though this frame, this body will break down on it, if you remember back to the time in the garden, we were kind of the ones that ruined that, weren't we? And how did we ruin that? We stepped away from him to do what we wanted to do. We've been paying the consequences for that ever since. But because of his love for us, nothing this world hands us will ever separate us from him. One of the scenes that always plays through my mind whenever Tommy and I and our family start into a tough time, I always think of Job. If you remember the story of Job, Job was a man solid after God's heart. Didn't matter what was going on, what happened, what the flavor of the day was. Job was a man who never turned his back on God, never questioned God, never got angry with God. Satan came to God one day, and says, "You know, Job is pretty stout believer in you, but kind of hedged a circle of protection around you, never really gave me an opportunity. Why don't you let me have a whack at him? And let's see what your faithful servant Job does." God says, "You know what? Okay. You can touch anything that's his, but you don't touch a hair on his head." And you all know what happened next. All of Job's children, while they're meeting together to have a meal, all of them are killed. Then in a little while, his fields are ravaged, his livestock are taken, spread out on those that felt that they deserved them, or just slaughtered. Even his slaves were captured and taken and killed. And yet Job never cursed God, never questioned God, never gave up his faith in God. And Satan comes back and he says, "You know, yeah, Job's still on your side. I get it. You've let me do just about everything I can do, but still kind of hedging protection around Job. You still won't let me touch him." God says, "You can do what you will with Job, but do not kill him. Spare his life." And there's parts of this story that are tough for me to understand. It's tough for me to, and I don't try to put myself in God's shoes, but there's parts of this story that are just tough for me to equal out. And that's okay. One of these days I'm going to have the answers to that. But what I do know in this story is God always said, Satan, you can go this far, but no further. You can do this. See that as the God that I serve, the God that in my life and in my daily walk, the God who will say, this might happen, but it's not going to go any further. And I tell you, some of the things that I've been through, the health issues and the things with my former job, there are times when I have wondered, how on earth am I still here? And the only answer to that can be, just like told Joshua, and I'm not comparing myself to Joshua, but there must be something God needs me to accomplish today. My prayer at this point is, don't miss that opportunity. Don't miss whatever that God has for me to accomplish. I think some of the things that hit home for me in reading these scriptures, I don't want to be someone who is slow to pray. Good times or in bad times. I don't want to be that person who, when good times come and things are working well in Mark and Connie's life and in my daughter's life, I don't want to be that person that thinks, you know, I must be doing something right. I must be living okay. I must be working hard enough. I must be making all the right decisions because this has just gone so smooth for so long. It ain't about Mark. It ain't about anything I've done. It is because God has blessed me and my family with everything that we have. I don't ever want to forget where my blessings come from. And the flip side to that is, I don't want to forget where my source of comfort is. Where when things are going good, I think, man, look what I've accomplished. And when things go bad, I say, God, why? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? I think you see in the world a lot of times today that the world has a tendency when they don't have a faith and a belief in God that they will use catastrophes and times of trouble in this world as a way to attack those of us who do believe. How many times have you heard someone talk about the Holocaust or the tsunamis where hundreds and hundreds of children were killed? Famine, violence. Even recently here in this country, we've seen a spike in violence, especially at school, where people will go into their situation and randomly shoot and kill innocent people. And I think it's hard for me to sit back and watch some of these stories, hear some of the comments, when people argue that, how could a loving God allow this to happen? How could a loving God allow, billions of people from the Jewish faith to have been taken and murdered in such an awful fashion during the Holocaust? How could God, says he loves us, allow children to perish in a tsunami? How could a loving God allow someone to walk into a school and murder innocent children? Getting back to what we were talking about just a few minutes ago, and if we could debate this at another lesson as well, part of what we deal with today is the direct result of free will. If it weren't for free will, having a choice between good and evil, evil wouldn't exist, right? Talking about the garden. Evil did not exist at that time. Still the serpent approached Eve, approached Adam, because of our ability to make choices. We chose wrong, and the consequences came. That's what causes some of these things that are happening today. But what I want us to think about is what we're talking about with Job, where God says, you can go this far, but no further. And I want you to think about this when troubling times hit. We don't always see where God is saying in our lives or in the world around us, this far, but no further. Sometimes we may not see that for years afterwards. In some cases, we might not ever see it until we come face to face with Him. But if you look back at the Holocaust, anybody remember a guy named Schindler? What did Schindler do? Schindler was a man who found a way to work with the German army to utilize Jewish people in a business in order to protect them. We've heard countless stories of people who, at great personal risk to themselves, found ways of hiding Jewish residents in their towns, in their homes. And when the German army would come to search the home, wouldn't find them. And eventually they were able to get them out of town. How many times have we heard stories from some of these school shootings about heroic teachers or police officers that were able to position themselves or do something to save one or two entire classrooms of children? And I would venture to say that in the tsunami that hit that killed so many children and adults, but it's always the children you hear about in this tsunami situation. I would venture to say that if you were to ask any of those children who probably were facing nothing more than a life of extreme poverty, hunger, starvation, family issues, and possible early death on their part, I would venture to say that if you asked them, would they rather be back here or remain at our Father's side? Because we know how God loves children. I would bet you $1 to a donut that not a single one of those kids would say, I want to get back. Does that seem still harsh to us? Probably. But if I was one of these children facing that, I would consider that a blessing to God that He not allow me to endure that. So we can look at these things and say, I serve a God who is always there for me, who I can always go to, who I can always get on bended knee and pray to. It's also the same God that whether I see it, feel it, always believe that God is going to stay this far, but no problem. I want to read, there's a song, I don't know if y'all are familiar with a group called Casting Crowns. There's a song that Casting Crowns has out that's titled Praise You in the Storm. And I want to read the lyrics of this song to you. This is a song, this became the marching theme for Connie and I for several years. I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, but it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise God who gives, takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands that you are who you are. No matter where I am, and every tear I've cried, you hold me in your hand and never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. One of the things that Connie and I have talked about time and time again is we don't know how lonely it must feel not have faith, not be in the midst of a body of believers. And let me tell you something. There is nothing like church. We walk on the shoulders of our brothers and sisters. They lifted us up and carried us through that cancer time. One of the strengths, again, of Connie, knowing what chemo was going to do to her hair, she decided, you know what, I'm going to take control of that. So we had a head shaving party at our church, invited all our church family to come join with us. We had a big meal together, and after that was over, I went up, and of course, I couldn't join her in that because I'd already started shaving my head years before that. But we sat down, and I shaved Connie's head. And it was amazing. There were five other people from the congregation up and said, you know what, I'm going to join you in this battle, shave my head. The thing that struck me the most, there was a boy. He was 10 or 11 at the time. And our kids were involved in a really, really strong group of kids in the youth group at church. And this boy came up, he said, you know what, he said, I want to support you, but he said, I want to show Meredith, maybe Anna, that I'm a friend too. Shave my head. You can't get that anywhere but here. It's important on us to remember from both sides. If you're going through a struggle, a storm, a hard time, a trial in your life, not only do you serve an amazing God who is there for us, who lifts us up, who protects us, people sitting out here, they will be the hands and the feet of Jesus here on earth. And we need to realize and understand and watch for those opportunities to be the hands of Jesus here on this earth. When we see people going through things, regardless of whether we go to church with them or not, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's somebody we run across, but that's especially our brothers and sisters sitting in this room right now. don't wait to be asked. Don't wait for somebody else to volunteer. See a need. Just take care of it. It's easy, I think, sometimes for us to go through these storms and dark times, and people don't understand who our God is. It's easy to blame, get angry, give in, be disappointed, or feel abandoned. That is not what our God is. What our God wants is for us to lean into Him. Not just in good times, but in moments of storms. He wants to comfort, restore, strengthen us. He wants us to. That's what this entire journey and experience has been about. All God wants is the ability to enjoy His relationship with us, to shower us with the love blessing that He has to offer. But He's not going to force it upon us. He wants us to. I want to read in closing. Sorry if I went over a little bit. But I want you to read with me Book of Psalms. We're all familiar with it. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. You are close beside me, your rod and staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. I want to leave you with this one last thought. You ever have those moments? You can read Scripture your entire life. You can read a certain Scripture a number of times. And one day you read it and it's like a light clicks on. But the Scripture just opens up to you. Happened to me. It happened to me several times. But it happened to me with this Scripture. If you got your Bibles open, Psalm 23. I want you to read verse 5 with me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. God's not telling us, look, I'm going to draw those troubled times, storms of life, and the enemies that are going to attack you as a result of your desire to follow me. I'm not going to wait until they're gone and no longer in your life, and you've chosen me. So they've moved along. God says, I prepared a table for you in the middle amongst your enemies. The storms of life hit when things are not what we expected. Things are really tough. God says, sit down with me. I've already got them prepared. And we're going to forget about what's surrounding you. Because my love is enough. My peace is enough. My comfort is enough. I'm the creator and sustainer of all things. I can fix you a meal and we will sit down and dine because that's who I am. That's the God we serve. Think about Psalms 20, verse 5, the next time a struggle hits. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for who you are and for how you never leave our side, for how you will always say this far, no further. But God, even in the midst of storm, troubles of life, times when we're being hit from all sides, that we can come, sit down at the table, be comforted,